I know everyone's been looking forward to today's sermon on judging. I know I haven't. Because this topic, I think, affects all of us. As I did some research this week, it was helpful what I was reading, what I was finding, to understand judging a little more. Because this is, we're nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus spent a good bit of time here talking about judging. And there are a number of scriptures, I'm going to read several of them, that have to do with judging, judging one another. But judging in and of itself is just part of our makeup. We're judging all the time. When we interact with people, we judge people by sometimes how they look, what they say, how they say it, what their accent might be. And a lot of times we're judging without even being aware that we're doing it. But we just, people make impressions upon us, and it's how we perceive. And sometimes in circumstances we wonder, and we make judgments by what someone says in response to some situation. Some of you may be aware that there's a new documentary out about Paul McCartney. And one of the things that comes out of that documentary is that when John Lennon was killed back in 1980, McCartney was asked how he felt about that. And he said, it's a drag. And many people thought he was being cold. But the reality is, as it comes out when people talked and learned more about it, he was in shock and grief. Because John Lennon, even though they had their disagreements, they were very close friends and had been since their early teens. And even when you have disagreements, and no one can have disagreements and separate than close friends. And so he was filled with grief. And I have found over the years, in dealing with people who've lost a loved one or lost a close friend, you never know how a person's going to react. Because when you're in grief, when you're in a form of shock, sometimes you say what comes to mind, but it's not really what you think or how you're feeling. Sometimes people respond to things and they'll be very negative. Sometimes people will kind of respond lightly, like nothing's a big deal. And other times, other people are busy being angry. But you give them a day or two, and everything changes. Grief affects us in so many ways. And grief is not just over someone dying. Grief can be from thinking we're mistreated, or we're misunderstood, or we feel we've been cheated. Grief can take many forms. And one way to protect ourselves is to judge. Oh, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, maybe they do, but that's our judgment. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Or, as we're older, what would a teenager know? Judging. We do that all the time. Young people can, well, old people, they're just too old. They have no idea what life's like. Okay, judging. We can look at somebody and say, well, they can't be very bright. And then you find out they're one of the more capable people you'd ever want to meet. We do that all the time. So many times. We go through a checkout. And the person that's at the checkout, that is if you still do that, go through the aisle where there's a person checking you out, not the self-check. I don't like the self-check because I find the person who does it is always grumpy. But you go through the checkout and the person might be grumpy. And you can go out and say, boy, they really need to learn customer service. But what we don't stop to think about was maybe the last three or four people that they had to deal with were grumpy and put them in a bad mood. I remember years ago when we first started ministering New Jersey, my parents came out to visit and they wanted to see the Statue of Liberty. So we went up to New York to see the Statue of Liberty. And while we're there, we decided let's have lunch at their snack bar. So Mom and Dad were saying about how unfriendly people are. And I thought, no, that can't be true. And it's not true. So we're getting the food, and I just spoke to the lady. about, you know, what a marvelous place this is, or something like that. Just a pleasantry. She literally jumped. My mom noticed it. She said, "Did you see how she jumped?" I said, "Yeah, I'm probably the only person who spoke to her that morning." When people had a chance, they could be friendly. I remember one time we went up to Manhattan, and we were on the subway, and we weren't quite sure where we were, what train to take or whatnot. And this guy kind of took us under his wing. And he looked kind of like a professor type, but a very poor professor type, you know. And so he goes with us. We get off the subway, and we go outside, and we thank him, and he's very friendly. And I offered to give him a tip because, you know, I thought, well, he said, "Oh, no, no, no." He said, "I'm a professor here." He said, "You know, you don't have to do anything for me, just out of the kindness." And so many times we'd be looking on the maps in the subway, and strangers would come and say, "Do you need help?" I always found New York people very friendly when you gave them a chance. Now, you always had to be careful, because for every good person, well, let me put it this way, for every 10 good persons, 10 persons, 10 people, there would be the one that you don't want to be near. But when you give people a chance and you give them the opportunity, you know, get them the opportunity for you to get to know them, a lot of misunderstanding falls by the wayside. Sometimes we can judge people because they just have a different point of view. And because they have a different point of view, well, they can't be right, and therefore there's something wrong with them. And that can cause all kinds of grief and destroy relationships. But God wants us to care about one another, to listen to one another. I think that's part of what it means by bear one another's burdens. To really listen and have some empathy and try to understand where people are coming from. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm troubled or something's happening, I'm a little upset, I don't always say what I mean. Sometimes just in being upset, I just want to say something just to kind of express my frustration. But it doesn't mean I mean it. And sometimes when people are going through stress, we need to realize they need some time. And they need maybe someone to listen and to get through the tough times. And what that does, it builds relationships. And so in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6, I'm going to start with verses 1 through 5. Jesus talks about judging one another. He says, don't do it. Easier said than done, right? Because it's part of our nature. It's part of our God-given nature. But our nature has been changed because of sin. And so sometimes when we judge, we go a little too far. We're too impatient to really know what's going on. But he says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. You know, sometimes when we're judgmental, right away people are judging us. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Think about what he's saying there. The way that we judge other people is the way we're going to be judged in return. How we treat others is going to reflect in how others treat us. And so doesn't it make sense for us to give people the benefit of the doubt, give them time, get to know them, know what's going on, before we make a serious judgment about someone? He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That always makes me think of the story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Now, the oldest texts of Scripture, the very oldest ones, that all that we have, do not include that. That's something that seemed to be added later. But in that, though, it's a fascinating thing, and I think it takes off from this. You know, this woman was brought to Jesus, caught in adultery. Interesting thing was, they didn't bring the guy. They just brought her. Now, I don't know, but I think it takes two people for that to happen. So at any rate, they want to know, should we stone this woman? They're testing Jesus. And Jesus says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. Before we get too judgmental about some of the little things that we see in one another, we need to look at ourselves and find out, well, what's the real sin? Why am I being so judgmental? Why do other people bother me so much? Why do their actions bother me so much? And more often than not, what bothers us in other people is what bothers us in ourselves. I don't know about you, but I see things in myself that I don't like. Okay? I won't tell you what they are, because you already know them. So you already know many of my faults and the, you know, things that annoy you about me. Well, they annoy me too. Okay? We won't even go there for poor Rhonda. And sometimes in my own, and maybe you can relate to this, I can hear my dad's voice come out of my mouth. Nothing annoys me more than that, right? To look at ourselves and to be able to realize God loves me. He loves me. And what annoys me annoys him too. But he still loves me. He still cares about me. And if he cares about me and he's trying to help me to become a better person, well, he's doing it for you too. Because he loves you and he's working in your life too. So I better focus upon my own issues and allow the Spirit to work on me and not worry about what he's doing with you. Because I've got to be working on myself. With the Lord's help and the power of His Spirit, truth of His Word. Now that doesn't say I don't care about you, but it means I'm not going to be judgmental of you. You know, if you have an issue, I'm more than happy to listen and to help. And I've told people over the years, you can tell me anything of what you're struggling with, and I will not think less of you. Because I can't think less of you. We are all sinners struggling in this life to know the Lord, to walk with Him, to become better people. And there's some things in our very nature that may never totally change. But we grow and develop. And part of what helps is loving one another. It doesn't mean accepting sin, but it means helping one another to grow and develop, to change. And that can take time. And in some things, it could take a lifetime. But we care about each other rather than pigeonholing each other and writing each other off, which becomes the extreme. In other scriptures, in Romans chapter 14, Paul wrote, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? We will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Notice how he ends that. We're all going to have to answer to God. But when we become judgmental towards someone, it affects how we treat them. And that can be a stumbling block for them. And certainly a stumbling block in a relationship. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul wrote, Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. See, the judging is God's responsibility. for all that is deep within us. We can't really know what's going on in the heart and mind of each individual. You know, it's very private. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves. I think that's why Paul says there, I don't even judge myself. There are things within ourselves that we ourselves don't even understand about ourselves. But Paul's trust is in the Lord. He's trusting God's grace, and he's trusting that God's will is the right way to go. And so he endeavors to be pleasing to God in order to receive that praise from God when God comes to pass final judgment. James 4, verses 11 and 12, James wrote, "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Again, the idea that it's not our job to condemn one another. You know, to look at, you know, what's going on in our own lives. We're all struggling, but we need the help because Judgment Day itself is coming. Judging is an interesting thing. I did some research and I printed out a couple things here, mainly from Good Life Family magazine. I thought this was interesting. It says that the tendency to judge others is a natural, often unconscious, cognitive process designed for survival, social navigation, and reinforcing personal beliefs. It stems from insecurities, fear, or lack of empathy, often manifesting as blaming characters rather than circumstances. This behavior can cause high stress, damaged relationships, and reduced self-esteem. Criticizing others can temporarily boost one's self-esteem and shield against personal self-doubt. When feeling vulnerable, judging others can make a person feel more in control of their environment. Does any of that sound familiar? Constant criticism, though, can create a hostile environment and damage interpersonal connections. That's when there's fights. That's when there's separation. That's when people no longer can get along. It's interesting that whole studies have been done on the concept of judging and how intimate it is to our living. But that's why we're commanded not to judge. It's something we have to work on. It's not an option. It's part of our sinful nature that we have to control. And we can control it by learning to really care about one another, to have compassion, empathy, to give of our time, to listen, to be supportive, so that we can help one another. Years ago, I may have mentioned this, but before I'd met Rhonda, knew a girl in my hometown, and I have no recollection how we ever first met or anything. But she had been arrested for, supposedly, she had some drugs and was trying to sell it to a friend. She wasn't a pusher. She just happened to get some drugs and was giving it to a friend, and she got arrested. So somehow I met her. And I invited her. I was doing a student preaching at a church one Sunday evening. And I invited her to go with me. And so she came. And we had a good conversation, spent some time together. She said, the next week, she said, "I want you to come to my church." Because she had been a churchgoer. So she said, "I want you to see how people treat me." I said, "Okay." Because she was amazed, you know, at the church that I went to. And just how friendly people were. But they didn't know her situation, and I didn't tell them. So we go to her church, where she usually went regularly. Everybody ostracized her. Not one person spoke to her. No one would sit near to her. And because I was with her, no one greeted me either. See, the problem was, and then thereafter, about a week later, she disappeared, and I never saw her again. What she needed was help. She needed people, her brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to her and help her in that time of need. She knew she did wrong. Law enforcement ensured that feeling. What she needed was help. Not encouragement to go on into drugs, but encouragement to get away from them. To know that everybody makes a mistake Everybody does something dumb. Everybody does, at some point or another, does something that they regret or are embarrassed about. But there's forgiveness from God to help each and every individual learn from it and grow and get beyond it to continue following Christ. My goodness, can you imagine? After David's misstep with Bathsheba, all the things that he did in that relationship, if he had showed up at that church, he would not have been welcome. Now, if he showed up here, well, he might have a few things to say, but we would want to help him. And that's why God sent the prophet Nathan to David to confront David, not to condemn David, but to give David the opportunity to see what he had done, to understand, and to have the opportunity to turn back to God. And that's what David did. That was in one of the songs we sang this morning. Create in me a clean heart. Restore in me a clean heart. That's what David was asking for. And so that's what we need to make possible for one another. Now, there is judging that we're supposed to do. In verse 6, Jesus said, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." You know, there are times where we have to use some judgment as to when to speak up to a lost world. Yeah, in verse 6, he's not talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ or, you know, people we get to know, you know, that we become friends with. But you just know sometimes there's someone that you meet or a group of people that are not going to be receptive. And in fact, will be seriously antagonistic. Could possibly even hurt you. And he's saying, don't waste your time on such people. They are so caught up in their viewpoints or their approach to life or their anger that they're just not going to listen. We even find in the Gospels where there were places that Jesus wanted to go, but he could not do anything there because the people were so hardened against God. And so we need to use judgment, and we look at this world and we see the evil that's there. We're to recognize that evil and to stay away from it. And there are times to speak up, but there are times where it's not going to do any good and we back away from it and continue to proclaim the good news to those who are willing to listen and to learn. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, Paul wrote, "I have written to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you." And of course, there he's talking about there was a man who had his stepmother had taken her, was having sexual relations with her, and yet they were still part of the church. What Paul here is saying is that we have to use judgment when there's serious issues, when there's serious issues that must be dealt with. Paul talks about how to deal with that man and said, expel this person. Well, then in the second letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote back and said, "I didn't mean for you to kick him out permanently. You go after him now and try to win him back." It's all about what does it take to help people come into a closer relationship with Christ. It's not not encouraging sin. Do not allow sin to run rampant. So it is a matter of caring about one another. And when there's these serious sins, sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, slandering, drunkenness, swindlers, when you have such people, these are people that are caught up in lifestyles that keep them apart from God, whether they're coming to church or not. But they need to be dealt with because these are serious things that will keep them out of heaven. These are the serious sins that we need to take seriously. When I was in Bible college, there was a small church in southern Illinois that was notorious because they had two elders, and one of them was the town drunk. And he would be out drinking on Saturday night, getting drunk, as he did most nights. But he'd sober up on time for Sunday morning to meet around the Lord's table. You have an elder on each side to serve the emblems. And the reason that they did not deal with it was, and I got this directly from the guy who was preaching there, Scripture says you have to have a minimum of two elders, and they didn't want to have the other guy not be an elder anymore. They had what they wanted, but they didn't care enough about the man who was caught in drunkenness. No one was dealing with that, and the man was not willing really to change. The church let him down because they didn't deal with the serious issue. So don't sweat the small stuff. I think that's what they say. Don't be quick to judge or condemn, but instead be willing to listen and learn and share and help. But when there's serious issues, I mean really serious issues, that a person's lifestyle is harmful to them, that's when stiffer measures need to be taken. It all comes down to love. Do we love one another? Do we love one another enough to really care and help? Right now we're going to sing the hymn, I Surrender All. And I think part of it is not just, Lord, I surrender myself to you, but it's, Lord, I surrender myself to you to see things from your perspective, not mine. To endeavor to see myself and see others as you do. To see not just a person and not just a sinner, but someone who needs your grace and your love, Lord, who needs help, just like I need help. To have that compassion and willingness to understand and help, and when it's necessary, to be stern. But always, always in a loving way. Let's stand together, shall we, to sing, I Surrender All.